show here something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
The Cell Signal Storm Podcast.
Fair warning, what I'm about ready to say to those of you outside of the state of Texas, this is going to sound weird. This is going to sound strange. This is going to sound nonsensical. This is going to sound bat guano crazy. But in the state of Texas, when Republicans are in the majority, they appoint Democrats to positions of power to kill conservative priorities. However, in Texas, when Democrats are in the majority, they never allow that to happen. It's part of this craziness in the state of Texas. Folks, I'm talking about the Texas House and Democrat chairs. Now, near as I can tell, and every single time I tell this on the radio and from every bit of investigation I've done, the last time the Democrats held the majority in the state of Texas, and actually, before 1970s, they never did this. Before the 1970s, the Democrats never put Republicans in charge of chairmanships in Texas to kill Democrat agenda items. But there, when Texas started to change from Democrat to Republican, Speaker Craddock in the 1970s appointed one Republican chairman to a committee. And this is what you've been told is the quote-unquote tradition of the majority party ceding power to the minority party, and that's what's supposed to make Texas special. Well, it might make Texas special, but not in a good way. It's special in a different way, a nonsensical way, a way that, frankly, nobody supports with a mind toward this idea that the majority gets to call the shots. The minority, of course, gets to vote. And if the minority can peel away enough of the majority to stop legislation, well, that's how it's supposed to work. But when a Democrat speaker of the Texas House appointed one Republican, that is where this tradition you've been hearing about came about. And then when the Democrats lost control, they insisted that the Republicans keep up with this newly formed tradition. So into the modern day, here we are in 2023, this so-called tradition remains. But it is not like it's dating back to the beginning of the Texas state or the Texas Republic. This is a relatively new advent, and it's only was invented when Republicans took over. Suffice it to say, my belief is that if Democrats ever take over the state of Texas, God forbid, that they will immediately stop appointing chairmanships of the other party, which many of us will look at these Republicans who have tried to sell us this bill of goods and say, what happened to the reciprocating? Oh, no, no, no. And then they will tell us with a straight face, we never expected the Democrats to believe Texas is special. Only we Republicans do. And if we ever get the majority back, we will make sure that we treat our Democrat friends a lot better than they treat us, which, of course, makes conservatives pull their hair out. It's just sad. I've got to tell you, folks, when this announcement was made, the take on this was very different depending on which outlet you were reading. Let's go to a left-wing outlet, decidedly biased left-wing outlet, the Texas Tribune. Democrats to chair fewer Texas House committees amid GOP pushback. See, now they're lamenting the fact that fewer Democrats will be able to thwart agenda items of conservatives. House Speaker Dade Phelan selected Democrats to chair 8 of the 34 standing committees, down from 13 he appointed at the start of last legislative session. Of course, this has the folks over at Texas Tribune very, very concerned, because the Texas Tribune would naturally like left-wingers, leftists, to be able to stop pro-constitutional, pro-American, pro-Texan legislation. So you would like to have as many socialist Democrats in there as possible to make that possible. However, there's indication, and this is just me speaking, that Speaker Phelan heard the objections. He understands the objections, and perhaps that might have, and we're still trying to get in touch with the Speaker and have him come on and talk with us, but maybe this was the impetus behind him cutting the number of chairmanship from chairmanships rather from 13 to 8. But we shall see. The next headline comes from something called the Texas Standard, the national daily news show of Texas. Texas House Speaker appoints 8 Democrat committee chairs, fewer than last session. That seems to be where the left wing is focused, on fewer Democrats able to thwart Republican agendas. By the way, all well and good, folks, if you have, you know, equal Republicans, equal Democrats, but the Republicans have the majority in every aspect of Texas government. And you would expect the Republican agenda items to be pushed through and not be allowed to be thwarted by Democrats. That's if you had a Republican leadership that was indeed conservative and actually believed in the party planks of the Republican Party. Now, to the Texas scorecard, decidedly conservative, right-leaning. Speaker Dade Phelan appoints Democrats to leadership in Texas House. He did. It's true. It's unfathomable. The speaker put left-wing Democrats in charge of important and very partisan policy areas like criminal law, business, family issues, and youth health and safety. So, and you can understand, there are a lot of Republicans, air quotes Republicans, in the Texas House who have no problem with three-year-olds transitioning from male to female, which is basically genital mutilation. Licensed genital mutilation. And there are a lot of Republicans who call themselves Republicans in the Texas House are like, yeah, make those girls boys, make those boys girls. What did Rush Limbaugh? Maybe I shouldn't say that. Rush Limbaugh had a clever way of referring to these procedures. Anyway, so as you can hear, the difference in the headlines is quite significant depending on what your point of view is. And depending on how proper you think it is to have individuals elect a majority, and then that majority turns around and says, hey, we're going to give a whole bunch of power to the minority to kill the majority items, the priorities. Anyway, I want to talk about this and a lot of other things with a new representative. Nate Schatzline joins the Salcedo Storm podcast for the first time. And folks, we interviewed him on a day when this broke, when the news hadn't even printed it yet, and Representative Schatzline had all the information for us. And that's coming up on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Does the state of the economy have your head spinning? Let American Medical Plans relieve one burden, health insurance. American Medical Plans specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays and no deductibles. You choose your doctors, you choose your hospitals. These plans have nothing to do with your income and are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. You deserve better. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Why get your news from people who don't share your values? Get news stories from Texas Scorecard. We provide real news for real Texans. Go to TexasScorecard.com today.
Folks, let's get to our guest, Nate Schatzline. He represents Texas District 93. He's a proud Christian, devoted husband and father of two boys. He's a former pastor, the founder for Liberty and Justice, an organization that is dedicated to mobilizing the local church to see reformation in the government, a very laudable goal. Representative, welcome to the Salcedo Storm podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm so honored to be here, so honored to be talking with you. And honestly, what you're doing is just incredible. I look to y'all's podcast for actual conservative truth to come out. But I did have to say, My bio has changed in the last 3 months. My daughter was born. So now I have a third child as well. And she is by far my favorite child. Well, so.
Well, as a father of three girls myself, I can definitely attest to
absolutely
the power of daddy's little girl. And with two boys and a girl, I can imagine. Hey, look, so Representative, I want to talk about, you know, you're relatively new to the politics game. District 93, you're in the Texas Capitol for your first session. How's everything going?
It's been a whirlwind. You know, it's like drinking from a fire hose in one end, because you're trying to learn the ropes, trying to understand the system while also trying to build relationship. And then there's also the frustration that, you know, the first 30 days, nothing really gets done, which is, you know, we got committee assignments today, which is incredibly exciting that we can actually get to work. But I'm really hopeful that we're going to get some great conservative stuff pushed through this session. It's been a great experience so far.
Well, I got to say something you just said about learning the system. And I would contend as a conservative that the system has been perverted and has been denigrated and no longer works for, at least on the federal level, certainly. But we're seeing signs of it in the Texas legislature as well, that this system, as you referred to it, isn't working for we the people. So with your previous advocacy, using the pulpit, using faith as a mechanism to influence government for the better, instead of working within the system, what do you think about changing that system, or maybe even restoring it to a system of, by, and for the people?
I think you're absolutely right. I take it back to the faith element, you know, talking about even the churches. You know, we've seen an epidemic of fear cover across the churches in Texas, and not just Texas, but really the United States of America. We've seen certain pastors step up and stand out and say, hey, look, we're going to speak truth regardless of what it does in the media, regardless of getting canceled. And, you know, imagine that, Chris, pastors actually speaking the truth from the pulpit without fear, which I think is just so incredibly important. Sadly, we've seen the same trend go on inside of, you know, the legislatures across all states and the United States as well, that we truly are living by fear rather than doing the right thing, the principled things. Oftentimes we do the thing that's going to build the most political clout or the most political equity. And I couldn't be more excited that I think we have more freedom loving, liberty minded individuals in the Texas House that are actually going to start speaking up and speaking truth, regardless of what type of quote unquote trouble it gets them in. I think that's vital that we just throw it to the side and say the people who elected us to get here, aka the grassroots, should have the loudest voice in the 88th legislative session than they have ever had in the history of the Texas House. And I'm going to make it my personal goal to make sure that happens.
Amen to that. You know, Ronald Reagan said that he believed that without God, there is no prompting of the conscience. And because you know the saying, what you do when nobody's watching defines your character, because you know,
right,
you have that sense that God is always watching.
Right.
And I think that's why so many in government have strayed, is because they have strayed from the principles of the Judeo-Christian principles of God. Let me buttress that with something that just happened here recently, as you may or may not have known. The Grammy Awards took place,
yes,
with a celebration of Satan. And
yeah,
not only was there a celebration of the devil, but CBS, a major corporation, the home of CBS News, CBS said, quote, they were ready to worship on a tweet,
yep,
to this. And they have since removed it. But I think this is where our political opponents, because again, they don't have a prompting of the conscience and they don't want a prompting,
correct,
of the conscience, that this is what they have now openly worshiping the Prince of Darkness in a direct affront to us. What do you think about,
yes,
all that?
Yeah, it's such a key question we should be asking. And you know what's sad is I have heard so much silence from the church on this. And really, I've heard it from, you know, whether it be major Christian influencers across the world are being silent on this. And what we've seen is an uproar from Christians across America saying, oh my goodness, look at what's taking place on TV. And here's the news that I want to share with any of the viewers or any of the listeners. And that is simply, I'm grateful that for the first time, we're seeing what happens behind the scenes front and center stage. And so for me, I'm actually incredibly grateful that this happened on stage, not because I'm glad that Satan was worshipped or I'm glad that that debauchery of a performance was done in front of people across America. I'm glad that the industry is being exposed for pushing an anti-God agenda and cramming it down the throats of our children. People often want to talk about a separation of church and state. Well, I have news for the state of Texas. We have a leftist agenda that mimics a religion itself that's being shoved down the throats of our children on a daily basis. And for once, we have the credence and the ability to call it out for what it is. It's Satan worship, and we cannot stand for this to continue to go on.
Folks, we're talking to Nate Schatzline. He represents Texas District 93, and you took me right where I wanted to go. They call it tolerance as they put up a gay pride flag in the classroom. They say they embrace all points of view, but I don't see a heterosexual flag inside
right.
of the classroom. They call it tolerance when they push this LGBTQ, ABCDEFG agenda that pushes cultural Marxism, which is totalitarian
right.
power of government, but they have no freedom promotion as it pertains to the LGBTQ folks in our society. They've got this
right.
critical race theory, which is the
yep.
teaching of racism against white people that is in the place
right.
of our government-run schools. Sir, this has led many parents, because of the revelations we all have from the China virus and what parents
yep.
are able to see up close and personal about GovEd, including the smut they've been pushing, the pornography they've been pushing by calling it art inside of our school libraries. This
yes.
this is the time that parents should have the power of education restored to them. And I would also dare say, sir, that it was wrong for the government to usurp that power to begin with. And you say?
Yes. Yes, 100% you're right. And let me just say it just for the record. The 88th legislative session is the session to pass school choice legislation in the state of Texas. We have to do it. Now, the details of whether that's ESAs or whether that's, you know, vouchers, whatever means we go about, there's two elements that are key in this fight. And that is, number one, public education is the kings and queens of indoctrination inside the United States of America.
Government.
We've identified that.
Yeah, government education.
Yes.
That's what it is. The worst,
yes,
the
correct.
Worst, the worst mistake this nation ever made was allowing government to educate our children.
Absolutely. And so looking at that battle, I think it's the forefront of the battle. I'm so excited today. A good friend of mine, and I think a good friend of yours as well, Representative Brian Harrison, just got put on Public Education Committee, which is a massive victory. Representative Matt Schaefer just got put on Public Education Committee, which is a massive victory. And we are currently working together to figure out how we can empower parents, take back the empowerment. And here's the big argument for it. If our funding is tied to the agendas of the left and the associations that are classified with them, then we're going to have a losing battle no matter what. The other area, once we get school choice passed in the Texas House, that we have to focus on is encouraging the school boards. And I want to be clear on this. This is going to be the litmus test of what school board candidates I support and endorse in the future. But the litmus test for your school board candidate, which I believe is the most important position in local government, the litmus test should be, did they support the idea of leaving TASB? And for those who don't know what TASB is, it is the kings and queens of indoctrination in our pub ed system. And so we are leading an effort, me, Brian Harrison, Terry Leo Wilson, all representatives are leading the effort to encourage our school board members to go independent of these agencies and actually govern, imagine this, of what the parents want for their child in their education.
The Texas Association of School Boards, folks, affiliated with the National School Board Association, which labeled
correct.
Parents terrorists. If you parents
correct.
Didn't think it was right for your second, third, and fourth grader to be taught about, well, any sex whatsoever, much less homosexual sex or heterosexual sex, if you didn't think it was appropriate, age appropriate, you were called a terrorist by these types
yes.
of organizations. And that's why they no longer have a place, in my view, in the state of Texas.
Well, and I'll tell you this, Chris, and this is something that me and Representative Harrison and Wilson were discussing today. And as we go forward, we're meeting with school boards all over the place that are interested in leaving. And the reason is for two very specific reasons. One, they undermine parents continuously, whether it be the letter they sent out to all administrators saying that from this point on, we're going to address children by their preferred pronouns, but we're going to call them by their biological pronouns to the parents, so that it does not get educators in trouble. Is that not insane?
I know.
That undermining parents. And on top of it all, and this is the craziest part, what most people don't know is that one of the key services that TASB provides to Texas schools that are associated with them is that they provide what's known as the policy manual, meaning that they are directly responsible for interpreting the legislative changes of the last session for the school boards that they are in contract with. Meaning that they get to manipulate law, that they are literally using legislative power as a private entity, which is against the law, to manipulate laws into the leftist agenda that they carry. So it's we must take down TASB.
Yep. The only cautionary tale I would put out there that I'm hoping you, and I know I've had extensive conversations with Representative Harrison and others on this, is that any legislation must cut all strings to government
Correct.
Influence. The money,
You're absolutely right.
The money must be at the sole discretion of the parents. And let me tell you why I say that. Because Representative Schatzlein, you're relatively new to the legislative game, but let me tell you about the body of people that you work in. And it's not just there in Austin, it's every state legislature, and it's even the federal legislature. These people
right.
these people pass mandates, and then they have no ability, much less desire, to police the mandates. For example,
correct.
We are going to ban Common Core in the state of Texas. We're going to ban critical race theory. Then they pass it
yep.
and they say, oh, our job is done. And then when these left-wing, six-figure-earning school administrators say, I don't give a damn what the legislature says, I'm going to do it anyway. When these individuals
right.
say, I'm going to use school taxpayer-funded resources to politic for Democrats, because what are these Republicans going to do to me? There's nothing they're going to do to me. When these school
right.
administrators, representatives, say that I heard what Governor Greg Abbott said, prohibiting students from being forced to wear masks. Yeah, we heard that. But have the governor come enforce it. I am all powerful as a school board administrator, I'm sorry, or as a superintendent. There's nothing they're going to do to me. And I think that's the game that I think the Texas legislature must stop playing. You must stop allowing government to get away with violating the law.
You're absolutely correct. And I think we have passed legislation in the past that was toothless. I think there's been many bills that we've celebrated as a conservative movement that have been broken down and we've thrown parties for it and look what we did and we love to tout our own horn. But the reality is, show me the proof in the pudding. We need to make sure that these things are actually taking place and actually providing real change. I think you hit on something that was so key that I want to go back to, and that is that when it comes to education freedom and fighting for school choice, I think it's vitally important to note that I won't sign on to any legislation that adds strings in any way to testing, hiring, firing processes, or any type of contingency inside of our homeschools or private
right.
schools. And that's key. And what we're simply asking for is that the taxes that I'm paying as a taxpayer not be spent in indoctrination camps, but be given back to me to use how I can give my child the best education experience.
Nate Schatzlein is our guest, folks. He represents Texas District 93 in the State House. There's a surplus. The Speaker of the Texas House, Dade Phelan, has been talking about this surplus. And, I talk to a lot of folks around the state of Texas, call into my radio show and send me emails saying, the first thing they ought to do is figure out ways to get that surplus that was unexpected because of Joe Biden's inflation, figuring out ways to get that back to me. What do you think?
Right. I agree 100%. I think, ultimately, the best case scenario is we give it all back immediately. I think.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. I heard something going off in the background. What was that?
That was some. Say that one more time.
I heard some music going off in the background. Was that one of your boys?
No, it wasn't. But I can promise you, if they were here, it without a doubt would have been. And so, no, but I think you're absolutely right when it comes to that surplus. This is the people's money. It's not ours. And we as government officials, we are servants of the people. And I think oftentimes legislators forget this isn't our money we're dealing with. These are the taxpayers' funds. And so giving that back is key. I know that we, the governor has said this. I know the speaker has said this, that he wants to pass the largest tax cut in property tax history in the state of Texas. I'm of the personal belief that all property tax is unconstitutional and we shouldn't have property tax, period. And so, while I have plans for us to push forward towards, ending property taxes altogether, I do believe it will be a massive tax cut. But I will be honest with you, Chris, there is no tax cut that would satisfy me unless it was every bit of the funds that came in.
Understood. So. Well, let me give you an alternative. And even I, as a conservative, recognize that there are legitimate functions of government. Now, let me give you an example. What if a certain set of dollars was set aside, identifying the key areas of growth around Texas, where we're starting to see this massive population increase from people fleeing California, the People's Republic of California, people fleeing Illinois, people fleeing New York and coming here for the freedom of Texas. We have not built a reservoir in the state of Texas in decades. What if it was put out there saying, look, this is how much the project would cost. We want to set aside X amount of the surplus and put it up for a vote. Do you, the people, think it's time we start investing in our human infrastructure to basically support human life, i.e., water projects? And let me add another one. And this is going to lead into our broader discussion about the power in this state.
Sure.
Use some of this money to counteract the perverted Obama money that props up a technology that isn't ready for prime time. We're talking about solar
Correct.
And wind that will actually
Yep.
spur investment and create jobs in Texas in the natural gas, a clean burning, reliable and abundant energy source.
Yes, the answer is 100% yes. And I think, if I were being 100% authentic, my money is always going to first choice is giving it back to the taxpayer. And then we can figure out the necessary needs that we need to go about within infrastructure. But I think it is going to get attention in the legislature. Everything I'm hearing, whether it be other members talking about infrastructural needs, we have them in ours. We have in District 93, we cover a lot of Fort Worth. Our roads are rough. And obviously the grid is something that has to be focused on. I think that was made a very partisan issue when it came to the gubernatorial election that we just experienced. And the ironic thing is, you look at the numbers in this winter storm which just took place that affected much of my district and is still affecting Austin. And what it came down to is we have governments on a city level and a local level that are so much better up in the Fort Worth area than down here in the city of Austin. They haven't managed their resources well. So I think what it comes down to is, yes, there has to be investment from the state, but I think it also comes down to local leadership. Our city in Fort Worth was prepared for this winter storm that just took place. I think the Texas legislature's done a great job at cycling the districts in severe situations, of making sure that we're not taken away from our gas lines and our oil. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to support natural gas. We have to support oil production and the pipeline. And you're absolutely right. Wind and solar, when you look at what they actually were able to come up with percentage wise of supporting our state during this winter storm that took place just a week or two ago. It was minimal.
It was pathetic.
Almost, it was almost non-existent.
It was pathetic.
It was awful.
And we can't bank human life on pathetic. And which is what Barack Obama represents. Nate Schatzline represents Texas District 93, folks. He's our guest right now. And let me talk about that, because Barack Hussein Obama has perverted the energy market. He set all these federal dollars, billions of dollars, to propping up these wind turbines and these solar panels. Now, let's just set aside the toxic waste that is generated from these solar panels, from their mining to their production to their disposal. Let's set aside the non-biodegradable windmill blades, which are poisoning the earth. This is the left wing's agenda, their green agenda, which is basically toxifying the earth. Let's leave that all aside and let's just talk about keeping the lights on. What Barack Obama and Joe Biden did by approving this money is they created a false market where Texans, and a lot of Texans are partaking in this, can get rich off of federal money, and it's drawing up investment in reliable, clean burning, and powerful energy sources, of which we have an abundance, which would make them cheaper and less expensive for our people, which benefits the poor.
Right.
And it's drying up investments. So here is an idea that was floated to me by a guy named Brad Johnson at the Texan.news. And I want to run it by you as a lawmaker. He said, this is a great idea. You've got Barack Hussein Obama. You can't do much about all that federal money that is perverting our market. Here's what you can do. You can play defense with maybe some of that surplus money and say to these individuals saying, yeah, you can take advantage of Barack Obama's money if you want to. But when your wind and solar, which we love, by the way, when they're working, they're great to have as a nice to have, but they're not, they're not reliable.
It's a secondary resource.
Exactly. They're nice to have, but when your wind and solar fails, you must, and this is what the law would say, you must have an equal ability to provide reliable thermal generation on your property, that would equal or exceed the amount of watts that you have promised with your so-called green energy. What do you think about that proposal?
Yeah, I would be interested to. I think it's always a good idea to do anything that combats anything that Barack Obama does. So let me just start with that. So if it's against an idea that Barack Obama had, I'm probably going to be for it. So, but ultimately, I think what it would come down to for me with legislation like that is making sure that we were not putting on business owners or on homeowners any higher expenses that would harm them.
Well, no, wait a minute. And that's exactly what this would do. This would be saying to, and maybe we can make it from this point on, or, you know, I would prefer to make it retroactive, because I'll tell you the story, Representative Schatzlein.
I had
a Fort Worth lawmaker tell me that he was talking to another Fort Worth lawmaker about, after Snowmageddon, about coming up with some standards in local government. And he talked to his friend, who was a lawmaker, and said, you know what, we've got to set a minimum generation capacity. And I, as your liberty-loving Latino, have always said we should have baseload capacity plus 10%. That's all. Low capacity plus 10%. Rather simple, I thought. Well, his friend said, no, I can't do that. And the lawmaker said, well, why the hell not? He says, well, because my neighbor has a whole bunch of property and they're raking in the dough from all this Obama money. So and so the Fort Worth lawmaker said, let me get this straight. 250 Texans paid with their lives, and you're worried about padding your pockets with federal taxpayer dollars. Am I reading you right? So these individuals who are saying that, I think we should say, look, that's all well and good. You want to take Obama money? Great. But you're going to have to support life of Texans. You're going to have to support natural gas, which is a resource of Texas. And you're frankly going to have to support putting Texans back to work and not falling into this Green New Deal toxicity agenda. Continue.
Well, and you're absolutely right on that. And I think my second point was coming back to the idea that, you know, if we're not careful, I forget who created, or this statistic that was shared with me was that, you know, one electric vehicle, you know, it takes the power of, I think, 23 refrigerators in a home just to charge throughout the night. So we're looking at this massive lie when it comes to energy that, hey, we need to go electric. We need to make sure that we're moving away from the natural resources that Texas actually has to offer. And, you know, what happens when we do this is we actually will see a failed grid if we do move to more of electric. And it's going to be bad if we don't actually make some moves towards protecting our natural resources, making sure that the pipeline is utilized and really doing some things that combat this horrific agenda that is destroying our nation.
Now, you mentioned electric vehicles. I was actually talking to a county chairman the other day who said that his fire department told him, we are massively short on firefighting capability for these electric cars. And the chairman said, what do you mean? He says, well, you can't just take a fire hose and put out an electric vehicle's fire. He says,
I have never thought about that.
Well, no, wait a minute. It gets even worse. He says, not only do you have to put these vehicles submerged in a special tank because they are fire hazards for 7 days after they catch fire, but he says the level of toxicity from the rare earth elements that catch fire in one of these electric vehicles, that if you are not out of the vehicle and at least 300 feet away from your vehicle, there's got to be a perimeter around one of these car fires, the level of toxicity will kill you.
Wow.
And these are fire departments.
Unbelievable.
These are fire departments all over the state of Texas who need to invest in this special high-grade foam to put out these electric vehicle car fires. And this is the vision that Joe Biden and the Democrats in the Texas legislature have for all of us.
And I'll tell you even further than that, not only is it a safety issue, number one, I had no idea that was even an issue. And that's bringing up so many ideas of ways that we probably need to really reconsider the allowance of these vehicles. But looking towards it, when it comes to the electric vehicle, one of the things that we're seeing is this push from the federal level for automatic switch offs for the vehicle, and they're doing it, you know, in the name of, well, if someone is convicted of a DWI or a DUI, we want to make sure that we can turn off the vehicle. I'm going to tell you this, Chris, the idea of giving the government the power to turn off my vehicle is terrifying to me.
Scares me to death.
That is so much more easily done with an electric vehicle than it is a gas-powered vehicle.
Amen to that. So, last thing on power before we get to the final discussion point, which is Democrat chairs. Are you familiar with the documentary called Grid Down, Power Up?
I am not.
Grid Down, Power Up is a 55-minute documentary that's free, by the way. There is a 12-minute truncated version that's available online, and you can watch the full documentary online if you want. Our mutual friend, I'm not sure if you've met him, Senator Bob Hall is featured in this. And
yes, very good friend.
Yep, the front man on this is actor Dennis Quaid. He's the one who's narrating this. And long story short, the failure of the power grids in the United States, the East Coast, the West Coast, and the Texas grid, would result, according to federal estimates, in the death of 90% of our population because of failure of those grids, either through an EMP attack, either through, like we just saw, what some people are calling a terrorist attack in North Carolina, where bullets fired into a substation knocked out 40,000 people out of power, just good old fashioned no power generation and a dilapidated grid, or God forbid, a nuclear detonation, which would also create an EMP. The loss of the power grid, and if we had a full supply chain, would take 2 years to restore and result in that loss of life. Now, you know, our supply chain is nowhere near 100%. So after you watch this video, and I'm going to give you this because you have to watch it first to accept what I'm saying is true. But if true, isn't it derelict of the Texas legislature not to harden the Texas grid?
Yes, 100%. I think we've got to focus in on this big time. And I think the reality when it comes to the grid is that we're talking about something that we should be building for the future. We have a nasty habit of especially as conservatives, and I own this, but as conservatives, we're very reactionary rather than being proactive. And I think this is a great opportunity in this session for us to say, okay, what are we going to do for the next generation to make sure that Texas leads the way? You know, I love the Texas that is leading right now, the Texas that's going to lead on lowering the cost of adoption, the Texas that's going to lead this session on making sure that gender modification for minors is banned, the Texas that, you know, we are behind the line on school choice, but is going to lead the future of education reform. And so looking at these things, I think we have to be a leader in this. I think, you know, when we look at the West Coast, especially in the state of California, which, you know, I lived there for 5 years in California, which was terrible for the campaign trail. But I'm a refugee, Chris. And so we found back coming home. But, you know, ultimately, when we were in California, the reality is the grid in California is in way worse shape. But I think the problem is they have so many other problems in the state of California that it gets very little attention. Whereas here in Texas, this is a big problem that has to be addressed in this session. I think Republicans are really aware of that.
Well, don't feel bad. I am a San Diego native who got to Texas in 2006. And
yes,
Texas, Texas is home, and that's why I guard it so jealously, because I've watched my former home state go to hell in a handbasket, and I do not want it for the great state of Texas. Which 100%. leads me to the last discussion point, which is Democrat chairmanships. Now, look, I have said this in speeches that I've been in front of Republican clubs, and I've said this on the radio, and I've said this on television. I am not necessarily object to Democrat chairmanships, but you're going to have to convince me that they make sense. And by sure. They means the leadership. For example, there is a Democrat by the name of Harold Dutton who puts the education and the success of children of color over sustaining a failed system, which is GovEd. Now, there are Republicans, and you know who they are, who hit the campaign trail in the last election and said to parents' faces, I will never give you parental school choice. It's all about government. Screw you. We own your kids. That's basically what they said in so many words. So in that particular case, I would say in those cases, a Democrat would be superior to those individuals who claim to be Republicans. However, as a general rule, the Democrat Party of pro-China, the Democrat Party of illegal immigration, the Democrat Party that abandons the state of Texas when in the middle of a legislative session, the party of the criminal, the party of abortion, the party that worships Satan, I say, as a general rule, no, they ought not be running committees in the state of Texas.
Correct.
And so let me ask you where you're on this.
Yeah, I have been vocal about this from the very, very beginning. And that is, I think it's absolutely insane to give chairmanships to the opposing party. I will tell you this. I believe we're the only Republican-ran state with a Republican majority that actually gives chairmanship to the opposing party.
That's correct.
I've never even understood it from the beginning. You know, even when we were campaigning, there were different legislators that would come to me and say, Nate, and this was the key. They said, Nate, this is tradition. And I would laugh and go, I don't care.
That's BS. By the way, can I tell you, just so you understand, since you're new, and I had to be educated on this by some Texans, that line that you've been given is BS. So let me tell you why. There was a speaker by the name of Craddock who was reading the tea leaves, and he recognized that Texas was pivoting way right. And he knew that Democrats were going to be in the minority very soon. And they were, as soon as the 1990s rolled around. Mr. Craddock gave one chairmanship in the Democrat-controlled House in the 1970s. He gave one Republican a chairmanship. And that's the tradition BS line that you've been fed.
Yeah. And it's one of those that, you know, Republicans have said, you know, we're not D.C. We're not D.C. in the state of Texas. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, no, I agree. I just don't think that that's relevant. I agree that we're not D.C. I just don't think that can apply to this element. So, you know, we just got chairmanships we just got our committees assigned today. And I do have to say I'm very grateful that we went from, I believe it was 13 Democrat committee chairs, to now I believe we're at 9 after the new committee assignments came out today. Now, what do I prefer? I prefer zero. And that's what I've been focused on from the very beginning. And that's why, you know, on day one, I voted for Tony Tinderholt to be Speaker of the House. You know, this was something that I was vocal about, that I stood up for. Not only is Tony a friend, but I knew where he stood on this issue and our RPT priorities. That's one of them. And so on day one, I voted for the person that I thought was going to uphold that value the best. Now, I say that, I also believe that Representative or now Speaker Phelan is a great legislator. I think he's fought on behalf of the pro-life movement. I think he's doing the right things in most areas. This was just one that we had a fundamental disagreement on. And here's my commitment is, no matter what, I am always going to vote my convictions and on what I have given my word to, regardless of what type of political play it is. We're not going to play games. We are going to do what the supporters who put me here have asked me to do. And I think that's just a general rule that we should all be following in the Texas legislature.
Do you think the speaker perhaps heard concerns and saw the behavior of the Democrats in deciding to go from 13 Democrat chairs to 9?
I think that there's two elements to this. Number one, I think that, and I am proud that there were chairmen that left quorum and abandoned their spot in Texas, leaving Republicans and a few Democrats inside the Texas House in the middle of session. And I think the speaker heard the cries of us that have said they need to be punished for that. That is breaking their oath in office to do the best that they can for Texas. And so that's first. Secondly, I think that this is a great opportunity for us to understand the grassroots have earned a spot back at the table. Look, without the pressure that the grassroots has been pressing, that we don't see this go down to 9, in my opinion. I think that this was a great opportunity. The speaker listened, and he did lower that. I wish it was lower. I'm always going to be on the extreme end of that issue. But I think that the grassroots should celebrate the fact that, you know, by applying pressure and letting their voices be heard, that they had their voices heard at the table.
All right. So, well, Representative Nate Schatzlein, it's been a very detailed and refreshing discussion. It's a pleasure to meet you, and I'm hoping we get you on radio and maybe on the TV show sometime soon.
I'd love to. Hey, thank you so much, Chris. And let me just say thank you for what you're doing. It is so refreshing to have people that are speaking the truth and getting loud for liberty-minded conservatives in the state of Texas and across the country. I appreciate you so much.
Right on, my man. Best to the family, and thanks again.
You as well.
That's going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Friends, do me a favor. Visit TexasScorecard.com. TexasScorecard.com. Go there to get the detailed list of individuals who are Democrats, not 13 this time, but 9, who will be chairing committees in the Texas legislature. And pay attention to the all-important committees like education and what that education committee is going to be doing. And praise God, it will be giving parents the right that should never have been taken away from them to begin with by government, the right to provide the best education and to determine the best education for their child. Also, pay a visit to ChrisSalcedo.com. ChrisSalcedo.com. There you can track down the Chris Salcedo shows on KSEV, The Voice of Texas, on Morning Talk Radio, and on Newsmax TV, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5, and always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. Society's worth not measured by how much power is stolen by government, but rather by how much power is reserved for we, the people. See ya.